You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this TGIF Friday afternoon, October 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome, everybody, World Headquarters, downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Beautiful, crystal blue sky. Zommers, let's take a look out at the old Sam Davidson street cam. Look at that. People mulling about in their light jackets. What are those kind of light jacket days in the sun? Beautiful sky here in downtown Madison. Absolutely gorgeous day. Hope you get out and enjoy it this weekend. Weekend looks nice as well. A little cool, but dry and sunny. Does that describe you today, drier and sunnier, Zommers? Welcome back.
A little bit, yeah. It's good to be back. You know, spent a lot of yesterday sleeping and pounding vitamin C.
As you should, you're feeling a little under, you like so many other people, the allergies got to you.
Yeah, it was just too much.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. It's actually funny that you say that's too much, because I had debated how to open today's show. Actually, and I texted a couple. I'm trying to read this verbatim. A couple of friends of mine that I texted last night. I was debating last night. I always get more depressed at night. I don't know why, because I prepare for the show and I was scrolling through several stories, things we were going to talk about today, and I texted a couple of my friends. They're the verbatim. This is what I texted them exactly. I said, "Quote: I spent 45 minutes scrolling for tomorrow's show, and I'm close to just opening the mic and starting with." We are screwed. Yeah, you understand? Yeah, you understand that, people? Screwed. It's over. Democracy, the country, social norms, whatever that means, over. Just enjoy life. Eat, drink, have sex, and be merry. Enjoy it as long as we can, because it is over. And well, by the way, I did not have a drop to drink last night.
I think that's how a lot of people feel right now.
Of course it's not. But I know, I think it's important to acknowledge that, like, all of us, doesn't matter whether it's our jobs to talk about this, we all are just getting overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
So, no, it's not maybe quite that dire. But I was going through a moment last night. Because there's a lot of headlines, lots to get to. We're going to get to as much of it today as we can. A couple of bright spots for you at the bottom of the hour. Can't wait for this. I don't believe we've ever had anybody join us on a combine or tractors, Albert, that are almost 3 years on the air.
No, we have not.
Today we will. Beef farmer, cattleman, David Umbihan is going to join us from either his combine or tractor, whichever he happens to be on at 2:30, and talk about the Argentinian beef influx via the Trumpster and the effect it's going to have, if it happens, on beef farmers in Wisconsin. Also explain these tariffs, what it means to Wisconsin farmers. David Umbihan and his family are longtime farmers, cattlemen, cattlewomen in Richland County. No better person to go to than the source. So David Umbihan, he said, I could do it. I could join you if you don't mind a little tractor or combine noise. I said, no, not at all. So looking forward to that at 2:35. And then at 3:35, keeping it in Richland County, our friend and ongoing contributor, Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with the Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years in the NFL. We will preview Badgers at the Ducks tomorrow out in Oregon. You can hear the game, by the way, right here on many of our fine stations. Pregame show at 4 p.m. and kickoff around 6 o'clock. You can hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WLAK in Amory, and WRPN in Ripon. So Brady, I'll talk about that. Also, the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team gets underway tonight at Fiserv Forum against Oklahoma in an exhibition game. The pregame show starts at 6:30 for that one. first tip at 7 o'clock. So Brady and I will talk basketball. We'll talk football, throw in some Packers. Of course, former Wisconsin Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers, now at the Steelers, taking on current quarterback for the Pack, Jordan Love, and the respective teams on Sunday. We'll tell you a little bit later how to listen to those. Lots of sports interspersed with the show as well. Some breaking news in terms of disaster relief down in the Milwaukee area for all parts of the state. The Trump administration has made a decision within the last hour. We'll tell you what that is and what the reaction is by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. But first, time now for a Jill Underly update. She's all by herself. She doesn't want anyone, or she says she doesn't. She's all by herself. We've been following this for you for the last week or so. After the Capital Times came out with a story a week ago. An in-depth story from the Capital Times took over a year to do the research and publish on 200 educators, not all teachers per se, but public educators, could be support staff, could be administrators, 200 folks over the last 4 or 5 years, since 2018, that were, they either gave up their licenses voluntarily in exchange for not having allegations of grooming or sexual assault further investigated. And again, to make clear in this story, this affects less than 0.003% of the public educators in the state. The overwhelming vast majority, 99.999%, are wonderful, great people doing great jobs with our kids. And certainly the alleged victims here, that's a sad thing and concerning and serious as well. I'm looking at this for this part of this thing, the fact that Dr. Jill Underly, the newly reelected since spring state school superintendent, who refused to debate her opponents in the spring, who refused to come on this program after she had been on several times, the first couple of years we were on the air, she quit coming on. We invited her back during the election campaign process. She didn't come on our show. I don't think, maybe she went on Kreitlow's show, but she didn't go on any other civic media shows that I know Zomers.
Yeah, I don't remember if she ever came back to Kreitlow's show, but she definitely stopped going to everyone else's.
Yeah, so she didn't want to come on this network by and large, and she gets reelected. I voted for her, by the way, twice.
As did I.
And now here you have this investigative reporter who brought all this evidence to Underly and Department of Public Instruction and said, here, what is your comment? And she refused an interview. She sent her spokesperson who, you know, said what spokespeople do. The story published last Friday night, Underly comes out with a scathing attack a la Trump on the reporter. And on the Capital Times, if you're not familiar, if you're other parts of the state, the Capital Times, I don't think it's a stretch to say, is known as the most progressive, liberal print newspaper in the state of Wisconsin. And Underly, a Democrat, attacks the reporter and the newspaper. And then the state assembly scheduled a hearing yesterday to say, all right, Dr. Underly, come on in, answer some questions. And we reported to you earlier this week, my sources were telling me, it turned out to be correct, that she was leaning towards not going because she had a conflict, she said. And so she sent her staff to this meeting yesterday to answer these questions. By the way, she refuses to talk to any press at all. Refused to go to the committee hearing. She made a video that we played the bulk of yesterday on this show. She released a video ahead of this meeting. I thought, all right, well, maybe she's ahead of some state school superintendent thing somewhere or other. She was the keynote speaker. If she didn't go, it would have messed things up. I'm like, you know, it's still not really an excuse, but I guess. But no. According to WisPolitics.com, Underly missed the hearing while out of town accepting a Distinguished Alumni Award from Indiana University. Committee Chair Amanda Newandowski said she was, quote, deeply disappointed, unquote, in Underly for not attending the hearing or reaching out to her directly. The superintendent of public schools, Department of Public Instruction in this state, skipped out on an assembly hearing to give her the opportunity to defend her staff, her department, the educators that she's supposed to be representing, and the school kids of this state. She skipped out on an opportunity to defend and answer questions on all of that to go to her alma mater in Indiana to accept an award and get a pat on the back. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know about Jill Underly, I don't know what does. She should have done it in the absolute reverse. Film a video, send it to your alma mater, have them send the plaque in the mail, and attend the committee hearing in the state of which you were elected by taxpayers and voters of Wisconsin, and answer questions in public. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach and Dan Schaefer talked about this morning on Mattner on Air, and I congratulate them. They called Underly out. I add to that. In fact, I will go so far as to say that Dr. Jill Underly, it is time for you to resign. You have lost all credibility with the taxpayers, with the voters of this state. This has nothing to do with funding or financing, or you haven't been funded by Republicans. That all might be true. But by sticking your middle finger or whatever at the voters of the state and going to your alma mater for a plaque, that's disqualifying. As someone who worked for a member of Congress, as someone who worked for a state senator, I can't tell you how many times that my former bosses were up for awards from, you know, Farm Bureau or wherever. Or they had a family reunion, an anniversary with their wives, one of their daughters' birthdays, and they missed it because they had to go and do their job. I can't tell you how many times I missed Father's Day with my own father because I had to go with my boss to an event. And if you said, well, you know, I got a conflict, the response was, that's great. I'll find somebody who doesn't. You're an elected official to this state. It is your responsibility and your job to show up. And the fact that no major Democrats have stepped forward to call her out is appalling. It's time the Democrats do their job. As a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I spent an inordinate amount of time going after my former party. And we're going to admit it on this denial of flood relief in Milwaukee. But if you're going to be fair, if you want the trust of people, you got to be honest. And if you're honest, there's no excuse for Dr. Underly not to be there yesterday. I don't know what it is. I just, if you don't want to talk to the press, if you don't want to talk to other people, if you don't want to show up at hearings, at an elected body, I don't know what you are. Maybe you're chicken. That could be. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Dr. Jill Underly is just chicken to show up. What are you hiding, Jill? Come on the show. You have a welcome invitation. An open mic. Don't be chicken. Come on back. We'll talk more on the other side. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Kenny Chesney, noise. That's what it's like these days, trying to bring politics. And, because it's just noise, right? Because it's so tribal. If you're a Republican, then Trump could do no wrong. If you're a Democrat, no Democrat could do no wrong. And pretty soon, the average person, average guy and gal are just like, it's all noise. Got to stand for something, for crying out loud. Talking about Dr. Jill Underley, DPI superintendent, refusing to go to the assembly committee hearing yesterday. Instead, she went to her alma mater, Indiana University. I can understand, because things are much better right now. Indiana University, they're undefeated. They're the number two football team in the country. And she went to get an award as an outstanding alum and a pat on the back. Great. Good for her. But she should have sent a video and have them send the plaque in the mail and stayed in Wisconsin, not the other way around. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cindy, listening on WISS in Appleton. Cindy, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Well, I've never really been very impressed with Underley, and with the last election she was in, I just really had to hold my nose to vote for her because I thought she would be a better option than the other person, although I don't think she's turning out to be a whole lot better. But I think, unfortunately, this is going to be fodder for the Republicans to really stomp us on with the next election. And
100%.
So I'm just really disappointed. I'm disappointed with the Democrats. As a matter of fact, as being a card-carrying member for 43 years, I have not renewed my membership because I'm really disgusted with the Democrats right now.
Yeah.
So they're starting to lose some of us. They better wake up and smell the coffee.
Appreciate your honesty and transparency, Cindy. Thanks for calling up there, our beautiful WISS in Appleton. You can hear there's what's the F and the other FM frequency up there now? We reach the further reach. We'll figure. So what in Appleton? We'll figure that out. Sorry, Lombers. I don't know it either. I should have it off the top of my head too. But want to make sure we get that out there. Sean in Richland Center, listening on WRCE, one of our great UPS drivers, says, I agree with you, Todd, 100%. The Underley ought to resign if she's not going to be transparent and forward about this. Another caller called in and said, Todd, we don't know what it's like on the inside. Okay, fair, that particular agency. But as someone who spent almost 30 years working in different forms of the state or federal government, I have a pretty good idea what it's like to work for an elected official on the inside. And my former bosses always took the heat. And I'll also tell you, the number one way to get staff morale in the toilet is for your boss to take a powder and send the staff. My bosses never did that, but I know those who did, agency heads who did. And boy, that is a surefire way for all those great folks working at DPI to have zero confidence in your boss because you're going and taking the bullets while your boss is in Indiana getting an award. Other breaking news story today, within the last hour or two, this comes to us from the Associated Press via Channel 3000 WISC, the CBS affiliate here in Madison. Wisconsin will not get federal disaster assistance to cover the cost of rebuilding after August's severe storms and flooding. Governor Tony Evers said this afternoon that the Trump administration has denied the state's application for public assistance to Door, Grant, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. Evers will appeal the decision. Quote, denying federal assistance doesn't just delay recovery. It sends a message to our constituents and our communities that they are on their own, Evers said. He goes on to say the federal government should not expect our communities to go through this alone, and we are going to fight tooth and nail to ensure they get every possible resource to build, rebuild, and recover. According to Evers, FEMA sent the governor's office a letter saying that using public assistance was, quote, not warranted, unquote, based on preliminary damage assessments. Talk about a swing and a miss. You have all these Republican federal elected officials. Ron Johnson, Glenn Grothman, Brian Stile, Derek Van Orden, Tom Tiffany, who wants to be governor of the state of Wisconsin now. But Tom Tiffany doesn't even have enough pull with Donald Trump, a president from his own party, to get this across the finish line for Wisconsinites. If Tom Tiffany doesn't have the ability to influence Trump enough to get assistance in these counties in Wisconsin that clearly need it, how is he ever going to be an effective governor for this state? It is appalling that Donald Trump is building now. We're now estimated over $300 million ballroom. But he doesn't have any sort of compassionate or empathy for the people of Wisconsin who lost homes, who lost all their possessions. Some people lost their lives. Where's Fitzgerald, former Senate Majority Leader of Wisconsin? He's gained so much weight. And normally you don't go after, but this is what happens to these people. I've seen it with my own eyes. Because they get lazy. They stop going to the parades. They stop knocking on doors. They go out to Washington. And they literally get wined and dined. And the amount of weight that Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald have put on since they've gone to Congress is crazy. They are literally fat and happy with our tax dollars. And they're letting people in Wisconsin wallow in waste. If the Republicans of this state in Congress can't get Trump to sign a disaster declaration for the people who lost everything in Wisconsin, they're simply not worthy of re-election. There's no explanation. And that's just the fact of the matter. We're going to come back, try to find some answers on the other side. Not going to want to miss it. Talking to David Umbihan in Richland County, a cattle farmer, on the influx of Argentinian beef. And what's up with beef prices today? Don't miss it. Stay tuned. Farm News is next on Pantheon. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. This is a fantastic first because almost 3 years now with this program, we've never had anybody join us from their tractor, their combine, or anything else. But that's where we find our next guest, and we appreciate his time. David Umbihan is a Richland County farmer who has been on the land for six generations. Their family has, with Umbihan Acres there in my home county, of course, of Richland County. He has served as the Premier Cooperative Board, previously Consumer Co-op of Richland County, for the past 12 years. He serves on the Farm Well Wisconsin Advisory Board. Farm Well Wisconsin was founded in 2020 and is funded through a five-year grant associated with the Wisconsin Partnership Program and the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and focuses on suicide prevention and resources for farming community in southwest Wisconsin. But most importantly for this segment, he is one of our great Wisconsin beef farmers. We find him, is it David, on a combine or a tractor this afternoon?
I'm in the combine right now.
Well, I don't know
if you can hear it or not, but
we can just a little, just enough to give us the ambiance, which I love. And I just want to sincerely thank you, because for those who might not be from agriculture communities or families like I am, this is premier harvest day. You got clear skies, cool temperatures, and as they say, you got to make hay while the sun shines, David.
We're doing that today too. So we're baling hay today too. So. We're doing it all. So.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, because this is a really important issue, and I believe in going to the source and getting the facts on this. And I'm talking about a couple of things. A, beef prices are high right now for a lot of consumers. That's causing consternation. And now you have President Trump this last week suggesting that in order to bring those prices down for consumers, he wants to flood the U.S. beef market with Argentinian beef. We've heard from Nebraska farmers, Nebraska Cattle Association folks. We haven't heard a lot from Wisconsin beef farmers. First, give us your take, David, on the higher beef prices, and explain to folks not in the industry why that is.
Well, the thing is the cow herd is down in the United States, and so you have less animals being born. We are buying, at the current time, Holstein bull calves to feed out in our operation. And as well as the price of beef is going up, also is the price of those replacements that you have to refill the herd with. And our president comes out with off-the-cuff remarks, it sends a ripple into the futures market, and future prices are affected for your product.
I think that's a real key that you hit on. I appreciate you because a lot of folks, I don't even claim to understand the ag markets nearly as well as you or somebody like Pam Yonke, but explain to people what that means for you as a cattleman, as a beef farmer. When the president makes his comment, it might not affect the daily prices today, but the futures went in the tank. What was it, like $7 or something?
Well, it was limit down today. When we refill our barn, we contract for future delivery. The price, try to protect ourselves in the future as far as contracts to sell the future date and try to lock in a profit. And when the market tanks, then that opportunity is lost, and you know you're sitting on animals that you cannot get contracted at a profitable price.
Yeah. And we're talking with David Umbehan, Richland County cattle farmer. He joins us for his combine in beautiful southwest Wisconsin. I was just there. I had to go up to Oakwood, David, to get some apple cider and apples and stuff for an event. So beautiful right now with the hills and the colors and whatnot. Talk to us a little bit about, David, from a cattleman standpoint, and I've tried to explain this on this show, but obviously you could do it so much better, that farming is always a risk, right? And when prices go up like this, you know they're not going to be sustained. And really, for us as consumers, if we can buy our meats locally, whether it's the Richland County Locker or Prem Meats in Spring Green or Hosley down in New Glarus, where I bought a quarter steer with some friends this year, when we can buy our beef locally, that goes much more directly back into folks like you, our friends and neighbors, and gives you a chance to recoup a lot of losses over previous years. Is that correct, or keep me honest?
Well, it's always good to have a local market that you can sell animals through, but you can't sell them all that way. Mm-hmm. Or an operation our size can't do that.
Sure.
And the other thing that it's going to affect is dairy farmers, too, this whole beef thing, because right now what's keeping some of our dairies in the black is the price they're getting paid for their bull calves. And I'm always going to be a dairy farmer at heart because I did it for up until 2021. And I have a concern for those farmers also.
Yeah, it goes in a circle. I think that's a really good point as well. We're talking to David Umbehan, Richland County cattle farmer, who's kind enough to join us right in the middle of combining from his combine in the field. Talk to us a little bit more about these comments from President Trump and the fact that, you know, the tariffs and the effect that that's having on Wisconsin farmers right now, not soybean guys and gals, particularly not being able to sell to China. Now China's done a backdoor deal with Argentina, and the Trump administration wants to send $40 billion for relief to Argentinians, farmer and ag workers, and then wants to flood the U.S. market with Argentinian beef. Thoughts?
Argentina does very little trade with the United States. And I don't know why we're propping them up. We take some of this money and put it toward ACA to get help more people. Many farmers get their health care on the from the ACA. I mean, a lot of them. And when they find out what their premiums are going to jump up, we should be taking this money and getting something done. Another thing is we're sitting without a farm bill for what, the last 2.5-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Congress is derelict in their duties of getting stuff done.
I really appreciate you bringing that point up about the Affordable Care Act. Some people call it Obamacare, no matter what you call it. I think there is a misnomer out there, and I'm not trying to make this overtly partisan, but my former party, the Republican Party, has got a narrative that this is only, you know, 20-year-old kids living in their mom and dad's basement playing video games that's using the Affordable Care Act or quote-unquote illegals or undocumented folks. You're confirming what I believe is true, David, which is there's a lot of Wisconsin ag producers, farmers, that rely on the Affordable Care Act for any health care at all, correct or incorrect?
Oh, that's correct. My son and daughter-in-law are covered under this a plan. And my wife has a job where I have insurance, but if it wasn't for that, I would be on an ACA plan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is definitely going to affect more than just, I mean, it's absolutely incorrect that the only people that are using this program are, like you said, and it's just word salad.
Right. Talking to David Umbehan from his combine in Richland County cattle farmer and a longtime dairy farmer as well. I appreciate your time. Speak, David, and again, you can take this as political or not. I'm not trying to put you in a box. I'm just going to throw it out there, and you say what you're going to say. You're involved in different, I mentioned some at the top of the interview, of co-op organizations. You talk to a lot of ag people in this state. You're well-connected. What's the read on this right now? Whether people voted for Donald Trump or didn't vote for Donald Trump, what are farmers, ag producers talking about right now as you talk to each other? Are the actions of this administration going to give people pause in these upcoming elections, do you think?
I would think it will. I think the ACA issue is going to come back and bite the party in charge in the butt. Sorry for a...
No, you can say butt. I say a lot worse things, and my mom criticizes me for it, so don't worry.
Well, I mean, the tariffs, I mean, in the farming world, tariffs, I mean, fertilizer, future prices for fertilizer for next growing season are up in the air. Nobody can give you an answer what's going to happen next spring when we're trying to put in a crop and have to go out and buy fertilizer and parts for equipment themselves. I mean, prices are going up, and anything we're using, there's a lot of inputs in the farming industry, and tariffs, the end user ends up paying for the tariff in the end. There's no doubt in my mind that it gets passed on. It's, you know, if there's this magic fund of tariffs sitting out there that Donald Trump is talking about, I don't know where it's going. Maybe it's going in his pocket. I shouldn't say that, but...
I think a lot of people think that, David. And we're talking to David Umbehan, Richland County Dairy, former dairy, now a cattle farmer, from his combine in Richland County. David, we have had small business people on this program say much of the same thing, that the tariffs are costing the consumer more. Anybody who knows anything about farming agriculture, you folks are business people. I wouldn't say small necessarily, but farming is a business, and uncertainty. Is that not one of the most risky and difficult parts of agriculture today, is uncertainty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're buying animals that we won't be getting rid of for another year. And how many people go out and spend that kind of money to and then don't even know what they're going to get unless they contract ahead? I mean, it's a crapshoot. If you don't do contracts, you may go out of business because of a downturn in the prices. I mean, or if nothing else, you'll be stressed.
Yeah.
Which we know that farming is probably has the highest suicide rate, probably of many occupations.
Yeah. And we got about a minute and a half left. If you want to talk a little bit about your work, because I congratulate and thank you for your work in that area. And what can we as non-ag people, farmers, do to support you all in the industry that's seen this huge amount of stress?
Well, when you mentioned it, the other day I was combining down by the bike trail at... in Richland County, and some biker comes by, and I was walking along, and he comes up to me and says, "Are you a farmer?" And I go, "Well, yes." He goes, "Thank you for everything you do." I mean, I kind of made my day that day.
Right.
When somebody I absolutely not knew, did not know, took the time to come over and thank me for what we do.
Amazing. So, that's great. We should all be doing that. David, thank you for joining us from your combine, taking time for us. Thank you and your entire family for being part of what makes America, what makes Wisconsin great. Have a great day, David.
Thank you, sir.
Our pleasure. Come on back. More on the other side. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Aaron Zommer is back on the board today. Glad to have him along as well. And many thanks to David Umbihan, Richland County cattle farmer, for joining us on his combine or from his combine. How about that, Zommer? This is like a new little thing for the show.
Yeah, it's a fun fact that we can have, you know, interviewed someone on a combine. And also, he just really had a lot of great things to say as an experienced farmer himself and as a member of several boards who gets to talk and get the general consensus among farmers. I think that was really valuable.
Well said. And much better than me yapping about something. Let's actually hear from people like David Umbihan, actual cattle farmer. Let's hear from you. I'll go as quickly as we can. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe, listening on WMDX in Madison. Joe, you wanted to follow up on that interview we had with David Umbihan.
Yeah, really interesting. Just 3 points. First off, number one, thanks for the interview. It was really terrific. He had a lot to say, and I hope you can return to him again. One of the points I wanted to make was he spoke about the ACA and the importance of the ACA for his family. And you hear it again and again, Todd. I'm sure you have, where if people are going to, you know, being a farmer, these people are working. They're not sitting in a basement playing video games. They're working very, very hard. Right. And they are so tied to our state. They are growing food on the land in our state. It's not like they can take their job and go work in the Netherlands or something. This is where they are, and this is what they give us. But the number of people, and I'm sure you've heard this, where if someone is working as a farmer, the spouse, husband has to have a job where it's you can be sure that there's going to be health insurance and it's going to be a steady thing. Working with the state, working with the county, working with the Fed. That's the only way to make it work.
School district, public school district. Go ahead.
Yeah. And farming is tough. You know, you can do a story if you want, a grim story about the number of farmers who are racing to get crops in, sometimes with hard weather, sometimes by themselves. And farm injuries in harvest time are horrific and a very sad part of that life. So I wanted to throw that into the mix. I also wanted to throw in, he spoke about the fact that the farm bill has been absolutely stalled. I really would love it if you guys would spend some time on your show, however you want to do it. You know, what's in the farm bill that it can't get it past the finish line? This is ridiculous. This has to happen every 10 years, as I understand it, and it's been stalled out for 2 years. Why is that? What needs to happen? Is it a matter of the Republicans just refusing, and why would they refuse? I don't quite get this.
That's good.
And then the last thing I wanted to add was Cindy called from Appleton, and I certainly feel her frustration with the school superintendent choosing not to be there on this important issue. But it was sad because it was followed up by then your reports that in terms of getting FEMA funding for what Wisconsin went through recently with the flooding in the southeast part of the state, no monies? What? Yeah. I mean, what? These people went through, I mean, they paid in. You pay into FEMA, and then you're left high and dry? That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And that the Republicans that you mentioned around the state had so little pull, if they were even trying to pull at all, to bring in money to benefit. And was it because it was in Milwaukee and they didn't want it to pull people in Milwaukee? I don't know. But that's, again, another story I would love to see explored. But
appreciate
thank
it.
You so much. It was a really good interview and a very important one. I hope we return to this guy and the question of farming again and again. It's really critical in our state.
Thanks, Joe. So and the congratulations and thanks go to David Umbihan, the actual farmer who took time out of his combining to actually do that. Thanks, Joe. Go quickly to Madison. Dick in Madison and WMDX. Dick, if you can make it brief. I know you've been holding a long time, but go ahead, please. You want to talk about Dr. Underley?
Yeah, great interview. I'm sick of voting for the lesser of two evils also. But to the beginning of your show, it ain't over until the fat orange man goes to jail or prison.
In terms of?
Well, just that. You were talking about it's just over the whole thing.
Oh, right. I see. My frustration, right? I'll go along with that. Thanks,
I mean,
Dick.
This thing at the White House is terrible.
Oh, I know. The East Wing stuff is just, it's ridiculous. The fact that he did all this with no approval and all this stuff. Yeah. Appreciate the call, Dick. Have a great weekend. Jack in Merrimack from WMDX. Jack, about a minute and a half. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, yeah, Joe made so many good points. I also want to make a point about the ACA, which is this. I'm a little bit older than my wife. She was about 2 years away from Medicare eligibility when a major firm took over the biotech firm that she was working with, and she was their stockroom manager. And personal opinion, it sounded like, because she was a woman, they were just putting all kinds of nasty pressure on her to get her out of there and try to find somebody else. And I mean, she'd been working there for 20 years, so she was obviously doing a good job. But she, because of this, she decided to retire a year before she was eligible. We got on the ACA, and the cost to us, and I don't know whether it was the competitiveness of the exchanges or subsidies, but it was about half of what it would have cost us to insure her just as with a regular insurance.
Sure.
So the ACA is really, really important, and it's, you know, like you said, it's not just the 20-year-old.
Right.
You know, it's not even just all, you know, small business people and farmers and people like that.
Appreciate
a lot of people.
I really appreciate the call, Jack. Have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing that personal story, as well as David Umihan, our farmer we had on earlier. Stories like David's, stories like Jack's. The more that we hear from actual real Wisconsinites, the truth comes into focus. And that's what it's going to take, in my opinion, to fight the really well, got to give them that, the really well-coordinated narrative from MAGA folks in Washington that want you to believe that this is about, you know, giving healthcare benefits to undocumented people. That is simply untrue. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. But we need more real stories from farmers like David, Wisconsin farmers, who are saying his kids and the farm are using this. Jack in Merrimack, a former teacher. Other, you know, people use the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. And if the Republicans don't want that to continue, as David said, going to come back and politically bite him in the butt. Come on back for hour two after this, Across Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.